Hey podcasters, welcome to Shaping Identity, a podcast for lived experiences with mental illness, addictions, and the road to recovery. If you're a regular, thanks for coming back. If you're new, thanks for joining. Today is going to be the first part of two, and I'm going to be trying to be brief. To be honest, my head and my heart are elsewhere, and it's kind of the topic of discussion for today because I'm feeling off due to the changes in my medications. So, are you ready for some vulnerability? Here it is. As I said, I'm going to try and make today's episode a little brief. I want to share my experiences with medications for my mental illnesses. And I think I'll start from deep in my past. I must have been around 11 years old, and one day on the playground, I all of a sudden couldn't breathe. I had a tightness in my chest that I had never felt before, and because I was hyperventilating, I started to become really dizzy. I remember stumbling into the school just before the bell, and a teacher had addressed me saying, "You can't go inside yet." But I went in, and I just remember feeling really afraid. I'm 11 at the time, so to me, I immediately just thought, like, oh my god, I'm dying. And I remember sliding down the wall by the girls' bathroom, and the teacher saw my face and realized I was having a hard time breathing. After this, I honestly don't remember too much. I remember the teacher talking to me, but I couldn't really hear or focus on what she was saying. And I remember the bell rang. And as kids started flooding into the school, I saw blurs of faces passing by, but then that was it. And now I didn't pass out or anything, but that's all I remember until I was in the nurse's office, laying on the bed. And I remember I was still having a hard time breathing. And I mean, it seemed to be getting a bit better. My chest didn't hurt, but then I saw the paramedics coming through the nurse's office door, and I went into an immediate panic. Again, I was 11 years old at the time, and so all I remember thinking was, oh my god, they're going to cut my throat open and stick a tube in it. Obviously, I was very wrong about this, and I didn't know at the time, obviously. They were definitely just trying to help me, and they ended up actually putting an oxygen mask on my face, and that did help. But after that, all I remember, I got airlifted to the hospital because, I mean, my school was 45 minutes deep into the country, and so I had to be airlifted to the hospital. And I don't remember much at the hospital. I remember a couple of embarrassing moments that I'd rather not share, at least not today. But I just got a couple tests done, and eventually the doctor came back into our room and just said that they believed it was an anxiety attack. And this was really foreign to me. I didn't know anyone with anxiety. I didn't know what it meant. And so they recommended to talk to my doctor and maybe get some medications prescribed and definitely do some counseling. So something to kind of know about my family, especially on my father's side, is that they're not super open to medications, or at least to me, they weren't at the time. And I remember the common phrase in my family was like, grin and bear it, get through it, you'll be fine, buck up, you're okay. And so from my memories, I remember my family thinking that, like, the issue could be resolved without medications. And so life went on. I did go to see a counselor, and it helped a bit. And I remember I really liked it because the counselor had told my dad that we needed to do more fun activities of my choosing, which I was really stoked about. And I hadn't had another anxiety attack for a while after that. But then again, with issues escalating with my mom and the separation from my dad, I started again to have more frequent bouts of harder time breathing. And because of how I thought my family felt about medications, I never wanted to be on them. Plus, I felt like I had heard so many bad things about medications for mental illnesses. Myths of they'll make you feel worse, you'll get addicted to them. And I mean, the addiction part is not necessarily a myth, but anyway. And I remember also thinking that taking medications for my mental illness would limit my options for the future. And by that, I mean, I thought I wouldn't get into a good school if I was mentally ill. And I know that's silly now to think about that. I don't know where that idea stemmed from, but I just remember firmly believing that if I was mentally ill and on medications, that the schools would find out and not let me in or something. And so often I would have times I couldn't breathe. My go-to method was I would just try and sleep through it. And that was just my go-to. I would just try and sleep through it and get to the next day and hopefully not feel that way. So fast forward a little bit, I was in university and I was struggling. It was weird too, because I actually had made a lot of friends in university, which was completely different from my high school experience, but I was just feeling lost, suicidal, sad, and I was drinking super heavily, trying to forget everything and trying to numb everything that was going on inside my head. And I mean, at that time, weed was harder to come by, and it's not like today where there's a pot shop on every corner. At the time, I would buy a $20 bag from a sketchy dude I'd meet at an obscure location, and so I'd have to make that bag last me as long as I could. And I remember university was the first attempt I had at my life. And I'll share that about that in another episode at another time, but essentially that instance had made my roommates urge me to get medications and more help. I went to the doctor and got prescribed some meds. I honestly don't even know what they were now. I didn't really care to know what they were. I just wanted to feel better. So I started taking meds and I immediately noticed that I felt nauseous, tired, I was gaining more weight, I felt sluggish, and I hated it. And I thought to myself, like, absolutely not. I knew that medications wouldn't help, and I just kind of threw my hands up and was like, well, they're not working, so I'm not taking them. And I just stopped taking them. I didn't go back to my doctor. I didn't tell them what I was experiencing. I just gave up and continued to self-medicate with alcohol and weed. It's sad because I remember telling myself that I had zero reasons to be struggling. I offered myself zero grace and was really mean to myself about everything I was going through. And I was mean to everyone around me for sure. That's kind of a separate issue for a different episode, but there were a couple of more times throughout university in my 20s that I tried medications here and there, but it always was the same thing. I'd feel sick or sluggish or whatever, and I would stop. I never took them at the same time every day. I never remembered to take them every day, and I didn't care enough to make it a priority, and I didn't see the need in doing so. So again, moving forward in more recent times, I had explained briefly how I started to take medications again in my late 20s, but the caveat to that was that I didn't stop drinking copious amounts of alcohol and still smoked a lot of pot. So I mean, I did give my meds a better chance that time in the sense that I was taking them the same time every day. And I was going back to my doctor and reporting how I was feeling, but smoking pot and drinking alcohol were definitely not helping in finding the right medications for me. And the thing about starting medications is it's hard, and harder than you'd imagine. And it's something I didn't really realize at the time. I didn't realize the toll I would put on my body to be trying different medications. some of the medications, as I've been saying, made me really nauseous. I would be at work or out somewhere and I would just all of a sudden puke. And I was sometimes so sick I couldn't eat or I couldn't sleep. And I will say that some medications warn that this could be a side effect at the onset of use. But depending on the medication, you have to keep taking it for a couple of weeks before it can be deemed just a beginning side effect rather than a side effect that means it's not a good fit for you. So it's a really hard and like thin line to balance in figuring that out. I remember having to jump around from different medications and dosages for months. It was very frustrating and I felt really unreliable at work. I felt really out of control of myself and my emotions. I felt a little bit helpless, like it was never gonna get better. And with work, I never knew when my nausea would hit. It was hard because I know I'm talking about nausea a lot, but it was my predominant issue. And so I would just be puking out of nowhere. And it was just really embarrassing and really hard to explain to people. And aside from the nausea, I also had a really hard time sleeping on some of the meds I tried, or I had a hard time staying awake on others. And I was gaining weight. I was on a roller coaster of ups and downs, mood swings, sobbing to laughing. And it was hard. The work part. And I was also in a new relationship in a new province, trying to make new friends. And so trying to explain to someone after you randomly get sick in a garbage can, it's like, oh yeah, my body just does that. Haha. Sorry. And I can't even count how many weird looks I got with that interaction, but I was just too ashamed at the time to say, you know, I'm mentally ill and I'm figuring out the right dosages and medications for me. And to kind of go on a little bit of a side rant about that, I find it really sad that I'm among many others who are too afraid to speak up about their mental illnesses and trying to find the right dosages. And I'll save the rest of my rant for another episode, but it's a big frustration of mine that society expects someone to act a certain way. And then some people will give you a side eye when you may need medications to do it. Anyway, to get back to what I was saying, I was finding better doses and medications. I was working with my doctor to determine the best fit. And I had even quit drinking and pot at that time, which made everything significantly better. I saw an amazing improvement and I started to feel like I had more control over myself and my emotions. And it was all a really unknown territory. And honestly, it was really amazing because for the first time in my life, it was like my head felt clear and I had some clarity and semblance of normal. And it was, it's a really good feeling when you can start to kind of get a sense of what others may feel like on a day to day. Anyway, fast forward a bit again, my husband and I were trying to get pregnant, and with trying to get pregnant, I had to change my meds once again. And it was really scary for me. I was afraid of going through change. And at the same time, I really wanted kids, like really, really bad. I've always wanted kids. And I knew I just had to suck it up and go through it. So once again, I had to get rid of some of my meds, make some changes, change dosages. And it was a whole process. It was tough. I was feeling a lot of the same things as I described earlier. Nausea, hard time sleeping, hard time staying awake, ups, downs, all of it. And I knew it would be worth it to protect the baby we planned on conceiving. But I also, it's just hard. Anytime you have to change your medications, it's a whole process. And again, I can't say this enough, like I didn't even realize what a process it is. And so I think for someone who hasn't been through it, it's yeah, it's harder than you would think. It's not just taking a pill. It's finding out what is going to work for you and what is going to make you to like a quote unquote normal level of functionality. And so anyway, once I got pregnant, I didn't realize that there was a whole other level of anxiety, worse anxiety, new anxiety, new worries, and I needed new strategies and once again, new meds. So I think this is where I'm going to leave off for today, and I will continue this for the next episode. There's just so much more to unpack with this topic than I had originally anticipated, and so I think it would do us all better if I waited until the next episode to continue explaining this journey. I appreciate you being here today and being a part of this journey. If you like Shaping Identity, please share with your friends, coworkers, family, whoever. As well, if you could please help me by rating, liking, or leaving a review on the platform you listen to Shaping Identity on, that would be amazing, and I would be super grateful. Shaping Identity is available wherever you stream your podcasts. You can also follow me on Instagram at shaping_identity. If you're interested in partnering or being a guest, please don't hesitate to shoot me an email at shapingidentitypodcast@gmail.com. Thank you all. This is me signing off with a vulnerability hangover. Shaping Identity would not be possible without the support and guidance of Titan Media Collective. Here is a promo of another podcast supported by them. Take a listen.
Hi, I'm Nate.
And I'm Andrew.
And we are the hosts of Two Beards Please podcast.
I asked him if he'd ever done this before. He said that he had.
So you're asking these questions while you're on the operating table?
Just before we start, right.
So you didn't think to ask these questions like in a consultation visit
or something?
I really didn't
care. I just wanted to prolong the hot knife cauterization as long as I could.
I also had some adults come to my door, not with kids.
Did you give them candy?
I did.
What's wrong with you?
What's...
They deserve apples. It's my favorite comedy movie that I could think of in 4 hours when some idiot says, "What's your favorite four comedy movies of all time?" Okay. This beardy is based on a limited amount of time, and I only had two beers. Laugh with us or laugh at us. Either way, you're laughing, and we're responsible.
Find all of the links to our social media as well as major listening platforms on our website, twobeardsplease.com.